Hello, everybody, and welcome to Get Lit Minute, your weekly podcast for all things poetic, poetry, and poets. This series is produced by Get Lit, Words Ignite, a nonprofit organization that uses poetry and spoken word to increase literacy and empower young people. My name is Sophie Priceman, and in this podcast, we focus on the lives, history, and works of classic poets and modern-day contemporary poets. Today, we're going to be talking about U.S. Poet Laureate Joy Harjo, a major figure of the late 10th century second wave of the Native American Renaissance. Joy Harjo was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma on May 9, 1951. The first of four children, Harjo's birth name was actually Joy Foster, but she changed it to honor her paternal grandmother. Joy's mother, Wynma Baker Foster, comes from a mixed Cherokee, French, and Irish background, and her father, Alan Foster, was Muscogee Creek. Joy Harjo is a member of the Muscogee Nation. Her indigenous ancestry has had a profound influence on her work. Much of her poetry incorporates prayer chants, animal imagery, myth and spirituality, the history of colonialism, the landscape of the Southwest, memory, tradition, and sounds associated with her native ancestry. She also tackles important contemporary and political topics related to the difficulties faced by indigenous people, such as the violent history of imperialism, as well as the oppressions of Native American women. While her work is specific, rooted in her personal experiences and family history, it is deeply meaningful to a vast audience with universal appeal and resonance. Harjo is a real Renaissance woman. Multiple mediums have informed her writing. She attributes her love of sound and rhythm in her words to her musical background. She even conceives some of her poems as song lyrics written against a rhythm track or melody. Joy Harjo remembers that her mother used to write songs and that she grew up with music playing constantly in the house. However, after her parents divorced and her mother remarried, Joy says that her stepfather killed all the music in her home. Luckily, Tulsa is a musical hub, so she feels that her roots in such an artistic city influenced her artistic career and kept music in her life. Alongside her mother, Harjo's grandmother, Naomi, and her aunt Lois were also artists. Both of them had received BFAs in fine arts and were painters. Harjo remembers that they would paint in typical European classic styles, but would feature native subjects and imagery. Joy followed in their footsteps. In high school, she attended the Institute of American Indian Arts, a Bureau of Indian Affairs boarding school in Santa Fe, where she used painting as an outlet to express herself. She went on to attend the University of New Mexico for her BA, and though she went in originally as a pre-med student, she switched to a major in art after her first year. It was in her 20s that Harjo first started writing seriously. She described herself as shy and quiet in those days, turning to visual art because of its capacity to be solitary. But at age 23, she said she was undergoing a lot of change in her life as she began raising her two children, Phil and Rainey, as a young single mother. She was an active member of the Kiva Club at the time, a Native American advocacy group at her university during the peak of the Native rights movement. She felt then that indigenous voices and female voices were desperately needed at this moment in particular. So, she set out to share her heritage and her experiences through poetry, challenging predominant misconceptions about Native Americans based on caricatures and the erasure of indigenous culture and history in the United States. She decided to pursue writing further at the University of Iowa, where she received her MFA in creative writing. She continued to acknowledge the thorough line of visual and performing arts in her writing. She said, for instance, that she thinks as a painter. Images come to her imagination, and she feels that when she writes, she paints the poems. She was also trained as a dancer under Rosalie Jones of the Blackfeet Nation, and toured as a dancer and actress was one of the first all-Native dance troupes in the country. Performance and rhythm are integral aspects of her poetic style to this day. Harjo sees her poetry as an inheritance in many ways. Not only does she descend from artists in her own family, but she believes that everyone descends from a line of what she calls poetry ancestors. Describing her poetic family tree, Joy said, "My closest relative is my mother, and the poems she taught me by William Blake, the lyrics of Hank Williams, the songs sung by Nat King Cole. From these came her own song lyrics. William Blake is not a far leap to Walt Whitman, to Allen Ginsberg, to June Jordan. That is one line of relativity. Harjo has also shared some of her other literary influences, including Galway Kinnell, Pablo Neruda, Ishmael Reed, Audre Lorde, Gwendolyn Brooks, and Scott Momaday. She has also said that as a child, the poem, "I'm Nobody, Who Are You?" by Emily Dickinson gave her hope. "I always felt I was here for a purpose, and the path was often difficult in my home. I often felt alone, but the aloneness was, for the most part, a refuge, because that's also the place of the artist, the place of the poet, the place of the philosopher. It's in that place that I knew myself, that I could know myself," she reflected in an interview with the Washington Post. In terms of her writing process, Harjo shared that she prefers writing early in the morning or late at night. She jots down her ideas in the various journals that she keeps on her computer, one for writing down dreams, one for general observations and things that she overhears, and one for learning jazz standards. Poetry, she says, is a means by which she's able to communicate a truth that is otherwise uncommunicable, unspoken. She sees it as a prophetic and emotional tool by which she is able to enact change. Harjo is a prolific author and artist. She has published 9 collections of poetry, including her first collection, The Last Song, published in 1975, that incorporates fragments of indigenous history with her personal experiences and images of the natural world. Her most recent collection, An American Sunrise, is similar in dialogue with her Muscogee ancestors and confronts the trauma of their forced expulsion from their homeland east of the Mississippi and displacement into Oklahoma. She has also written several plays and children's books, as well as 2 memoirs, Crazy Brave and Poet Warrior. Harjo was the executive editor of the anthology When the Light of the World Was Subdued, Our Songs Came Through, a Norton anthology of Native Nations poetry, and was the editor of Living Nations, Living Words, an anthology of First Peoples poetry, the companion anthology to her Poet Laureate project. Joy Harjo has produced 7 award-winning albums, including her newest, I Pray for My Enemies, which grapples with the issues plaguing the United States, including racial violence and the COVID-19 pandemic. As well as writing her own music, Harjo performs as a saxophonist, vocalist, and flute player in the bands Poetic Justice and Aerodynamics. Joy has also taught creative writing at the University of New Mexico and the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, and is currently Professor and Chair of Excellence in Creative Writing at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. Alongside being the first Native American to be named the Poet Laureate of the United States, Harjo has received a Ruth Lilly Prize for Lifetime Achievement from the Poetry Foundation, the Academy of American Poets Wallace Stevens Award, a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Native Writers Circle of Americas, a Josephine Miles Poetry Award, the William Carlos Williams Award from the Poetry Society of America, the American Indian Distinguished Achievement in the Arts Award, an American Book Award, and a Penn Center USA Prize for Creative Nonfiction. She is the recipient of 2 National Endowment for the Arts Fellowship, a Guggenheim Fellowship, a Tulsa Artist Fellowship, an Arizona Commission on the Arts Fellowship, a Ramazan Foundation Fellowship, and a Witter Bynner Foundation Fellowship. She was named Chancellor of the Academy of American Poets and has served as the Board of Directors Chair of the Native Arts and Cultures Foundation. She currently lives in the city where she grew up, Tulsa, Oklahoma. In the poem I'm about to share with you, you'll see what I mean when I say that Harjo's writing has universal resonance. It is both specific and broadly relatable, concrete and intangible, immediately personal and deeply felt by all audiences. This is Perhaps the World Ends Here by Joy Harjo. The world begins at a kitchen table. No matter what, we must eat to live. The gifts of earth are brought and prepared, set on the table. So it has been since creation, and it will go on. We chase chickens or dogs away from it. Babies teethe at the corners. They scrape their knees under it. It is here that children are given instructions on what it means to be human. We make men at it. We make women. On this table, we gossip, recall enemies and the ghosts of lovers. Our dreams drink coffee with us as they put their arms around our children. They laugh with us at our poor falling down selves and as we put ourselves back together once again. at the table. This table has been a house in the rain, an umbrella in the sun. Wars have begun and ended at this table. It is a place to hide in the shadow of terror, a place to celebrate the terrible victory. We have given birth on this table and have prepared our parents for burial here. At this table, we sing with joy, with sorrow. We pray of suffering and remorse. We give thanks. Perhaps the world will end at the kitchen table, while we are all laughing and crying, eating of the last sweet bite. Get Lit Minute is a production of Get Lit Words Ignite. This podcast is created by Samuel Curtis, produced by Sophia D'Annunzio, and executive produced by Diane Luby Lane. The episodes this season were researched and written by Get Lit Poets and edited by Mila Kuda. Josh Castillo is our engineer and our digital editor is Blake Emerson. Special thanks to the entire Get Lit staff and donors who make this work possible, the teachers who use this podcast to educate their students, and to all students of life everywhere for tuning in and spending time with us today. If you want to hear more, check out the rest of our episodes on our website, getlit.org. That's GETLIT.ORG. See you there!